Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour podcast. I am your host, Miss Kev on Stage, and I'm joined by my husband and co-host,
the Kev on Stage.
And we have some very special guests here with us today. I'm so excited to meet Yvette in person. And of course, we've met Glenn before because we all met on the set of the Spectrum commercial.
Hey. Spectrum commercial. Hey. Get your cable on the internet.
Come That's on, right. Melanin on the Spectrum commercial. Right. We was in there deep.
We was all black, deep.
But we have here Glenn and Yvette Henry. They, of course, are the hosts of How Married Are You? They are a marriage podcast that if you haven't checked out, you absolutely 100% should check out. Thank you guys so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having us.
Yay. Yes. So in case you are unaware of who they are, would one of you mind doing an introduction? Who you guys are, how long you've been married, how the podcast started, all of the things.
Yeah, so we are the Henrys. We have been married for 9 years. Oh. I started I come from hip hop and I was doing music for a long time, and then I started.
You was rapping?
I was rapping. Oh, barring out. That. Like barring out.
Were you?
Yeah. But
no, for sure.
No. It's real.
What was your rap name?
Belief. Oh. Yeah.
Keeping the brand.
Exactly. Clean. You know, consistent. So I was doing that. And then a while after that, I was kind of challenged by my wife. She asked me, you know, what's your plan? You know, what's our 5-year plan or whatever? What are we going to do in the next 5 years? And I was like, I have no idea, you know? And so she was like, we were laying in bed and she goes, we've been married for, you know, 5 years at the time. And I trust you with my family and my future. And you don't have 5 years planned out.
Ooh.
And she rolled over and went to sleep.
But on that note?
Yeah, yes. And I just stood there.
You ain't got 5 years?
And I just laid there, I couldn't sleep. I woke up I had to figure out, like, what I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. so I got with a friend of mine. He asked me, like, what do you want to do? You know what I'm saying? In 5 years, I couldn't tell him. 10 years, couldn't tell him. And then he said, 15 years, what do you want to be doing? I said, I want to be telling people how great it is to be a father. And so he's like, well, where are these people you want to be talking to? He's like, where's their attention? I said, on the internet. And so basically, 4 years ago, we started a plan to, like, you know, create content that would show how great it is to be a father over 15 years. And in the process of that, Yvette quit her job as a math teacher.
We could have used you last night. We had a dog on Lake Superior word question. We didn't know what.
I taught everything from 6th to middle school and high school.
Middle school and high school. Mm-hmm. So what is 1.33 thousandths of a feet?
I don't know.
Girl, we didn't either.
That was the math problem
last night. When I tell you we were confusion.
Let me read it to her list.
What's the context?
I'm gonna read it to you.
That's all the context.
It was a word problem.
Nah. Lake Superior. Okay, this is the word problem that we let our son go to bed without knowing the answer. Lake Superior along the U.S.-Canadian border has a maximum depth of 1.333 thousand feet. There are 5,280 feet in 1 mile. How deep is Lake Superior in miles? When I tell you, we were like...
You'd have to do a conversion, yeah.
Man, what? A conversion of what?
So I would set up ratios and then go... So I would like to cancel out. So you started with feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I would go with... If you know how many feet are in a mile, then you'd multiply it by that ratio in order to get the miles.
Oh, I get what she did.
Yep.
I'm not telling.
Yeah, see, literally multiply it by 1.3.
Yeah.
5,280 times 1.3.
Well, it depends on how many feet are in miles, though. I don't know that.
5,280 feet.
Oh, I said that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I married her, because she's
math.
She is math.
I am not
mathematics
no math.
Is her.
Math.
Girl, I got your number now. I'm going to just send you word problems.
7 times 8.
People do that all the time.
Plus 3.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So that's a great story. So how long ago did you quit your job?
My daughter is now 2.5. So 2.5 years ago. When
and
she
you
was
quit
born.
To do this full time?
I quit to
she
be
quit
a mom.
She quit
to
quit.
Yeah. I quit to be a mom. It got to the point where I was going to work and, like, looking at the kids and realizing that I'm spending a lot more time with these kids than I'm spending with my own. And then Glenn and I had been having multiple conversations about how he felt like they were getting my leftovers. Mm-hmm. So, because I wasn't just teaching, I was doing ASB, I was a Black Student Union advisor, like I was doing a lot.
And tutoring and...
It was just, yeah, so...
Were you at home this whole time?
Yeah, stay-at-home dad, like...
So you came home like, so you just gonna give them kids all your work, and you ain't got nothing left for me or the children?
Yes, I was very sensitive, emotional, and I just was like, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, it was a lot.
And she like, I'm out here working for the family, and she's every day here, I gotta come home and deal with you.
Exactly, so then she was like, cool, you gotta, you know, she was like, well, cool, I'm gonna quit my job and you figure it out.
And that's what happened.
That's not really.
Well, that was the vibe. Like, she quit her job. And she didn't actually quit a job. She just stopped looking. She just stopped looking for a new job. You know what I'm saying? And I was just like, okay, so we just not going to look no more? You know what I'm saying? So then basically I was making like $700 on Patreon at the time, you know. And I had like one brand deal. And I was all into Gary Vee and the grind and the grind. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, things just kind of picked up and we kind of leveled out, you know. And we just kept grinding. Yeah.
I love it. That's such a great story. And it is so different than me and Kevin's story, but it also parallels in a lot of ways. So thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for sharing that story with us. And I think today's topic will lend itself to dive a little bit deeper into both of our stories and some of the parallels. But before we get started, we always start with the that or this, this or that question that is submitted from our listener audience. If you're interested in submitting a question, that or that question, please send your questions to hello@thelovehour.com. Is that the email address I normally give out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I couldn't remember.
Listen to my mixtape again.
It's fire. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
But that's a cop car, so that just means you're in trouble. That's not
Man. They like, man, what's that? Fire burning? Emergency services on the way.
Question. Hello, Kevin and Melissa.
Hello.
My name is, I won't say that, and I'm a faithful listener of your podcast. This or that question. The food supply in the country is scarce. You haven't eaten or drank anything in 48 hours due to the lack of food that's available. Here's the question. Would you rather eat a piece of chicken off the floor or drink from a stranger's cup?
What state we in?
We're in in California.
What kind of chicken is this? Fried?
Y'all got too many questions.
LA or San Diego?
LA.
Oh, gosh.
Drink from a stranger's cup.
I'm going with the chicken.
Off the ground?
I'm going with the chicken.
Kiss that thing up to
folks
the
folks are gross. Their mouths are gross.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is the chicken untouched?
It's just thinking of a fresh piece of chicken that's just on the ground.
Just on the ground.
I'm picking it up. I'm praying over it. I don't like sharing saliva with people.
Yeah. People walk on the ground. Dogs walk on the ground. No, people pee, spit,
you know,
sneeze.
How I feel about drinking after people. I can't do it.
I got a child.
That's making my stomach.
I have a child people I won't eat after.
Me too.
Yeah, I got a child. It's kind of like, we drinking after him now?
That's when you give your kids drink. They put more stuff in it.
I very rarely eat or drink after my kids because I just be like, y'all are gross.
Now it's a smoothie.
I'm eating off the ground for sure.
Yeah, I'm eating off the ground. I'm taking my chances.
I'm drinking out of somebody's cup. I just can't pick it off the ground. It's just so many things could have happened.
I don't know. I feel like if you could pick it off, like I would probably see how it landed and eat the part that didn't hit the ground.
Yeah, you can eat the inside, take off the skin.
I think I would eat off the ground.
That was on the cement.
That wasn't a question.
It was on the bathroom floor.
It didn't say the bathroom floor. No, it didn't say that.
If it's just,
you know what's funny about
times.
That? When I was a kid, I used to be like sneaking Swiss cake rolls, mind your business. And one time a teacher was coming in the hallway and I went to go eat it in the bathroom and just taking food in the bathroom air. I just I can't eat it now. Yeah, bathroom air got on it.
That's how I feel too. I can't do that. I don't like. Don't share nothing liquid with me. Cereal, don't eat off my spoon. If I have ice cream, don't
ice cream
of that.
Ice cream is not even liquid.
No, but this is the problem. People never eat all the ice cream off the scoop. They never get all of it out. So you leave that top part that you grazed your mouth and your tongue over and then be like, here.
Yeah.
No.
Yvette won't even drink after me. Like, you know how you have the can? You drink out of the can. It's just it's that just, little bit
I'm
of.
Not doing it
she's
either.
Like, can you finish that? Yep. She makes me slurp it all up.
I'm High five.
Melissa, if you take a bite of her food, you can just have it.
Seriously.
Oh, wow.
Share soup with me.
Nope, I'm not sharing
soup. I've been inside your body.
No, I don't care. I don't
care. How is that not weirder than sharing soup?
Because the soup, what happens is it drips off your lip back into the bowl. So
but
now
it's so
I have
small.
Your,
the bacteria on the it's so small,
but
there.
It's just enough to make my stomach turn.
Mm. It's you get in your mind about it.
You get a rumination thought about it. Okay.
I would drink after somebody else.
You do. I
just
don't.
Slurped.
I'm eating off the floor. You know what I'm saying? Especially because, like, you know, plants. You know, plants come from dirt. You eat plants. You know what I'm saying?
It's
a little bit
it.
More.
I'm here for all the
chickens
things.
Walk all over the. You know what I'm saying?
So this is our first time. Not our first time. I keep saying that. And that's not an accurate statement. But it is our first time having this conversation where we've had another influencer couple on the podcast where we've been able to talk about. Child, the life and times of being a podcast influencer, being a mama, being a daddy, being a husband, being a wife,
being
an influencer,
man.
Doing commercials, and like the impact on
you
that.
You know when people hit you up, that ain't hit you up after you've been in a commercial?
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, man, I saw you
oh,
on
you
the,
still follow me on the road?
Yeah, I saw you on the TV.
Oh, my boy, Kev. Oh, I'm now your boy. I ain't been your boy for years. Yeah. I pop up on your TV. Now we boys.
They come out the woodworks, man.
Surprise.
So what we're going to do is definitely dive deep into that conversation. So I have a couple, like, posing questions that we can dive into. But before we get into that, I also want to tell all of our listeners about my plan for the month of October, because this is the last episode for this month, right? For September?
Yes.
I think so. And so for the month of October, we are going to be dedicated to women's health. I am so freaking excited about it. I have a bunch of OBGYNs lined up. And part of the reason this was an important topic to me is because as a woman, I have suffered with woman issues, namely UTIs. That is something that is such a common occurrence for women. It is just something that's chronic. It's part of the way our bodies are structured that just makes us more susceptible to UTIs than it is for men. And so I personally was going through one, went to the doctor, haven't been to the doctor in forever. I was like, Syph was diagnosing, drinking cranberry juice, doing all of these things. And she was like, ma'am, let me explain to you why it's not a good idea to just stay at home with this and keep self-diagnosing yourself for months and months and months and months and months. You need to come into the doctor and you need to figure out what's going on with your body. You don't want this to get worse and become, you know, from a lower bladder to an upper or lower UTI infection to an upper UTI infection, which is a kidney infection. And that can be serious. And one of the things, so that's why we're going to have all of the OBGYNs out next month. So one of the things that I was using while I was having this UTI was Eucora, and I was super excited when they wanted to partner with us because, again, I've used this company prior to them even being sponsors for the podcast. So what is Eucora? If you get UTIs, you know that cranberry juice is useless and taking too many antibiotics can be problematic. So what should you do? You should try Eucora, the natural effective way to prevent UTIs. Cranberry juice does not help with prevention. Okay, let's just get that. Ask me how I know. What's amazing about Eucora is its unique formula targets bacteria and enables you to safely flush bacteria out of your urinary tract, stopping UTIs before they even start. And what did old dude say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I thought it was cure too. Okay. Eucora also makes a specialized probiotic, Eucora Promote, which includes two specific strains of good bacteria that your body needs to help keep bad bacteria in check. Eucora Promote balances pH and restores good bacteria that keeps your system healthy. Just take one capsule a day to ward off UTIs and other tough issues like yeast infections. Ooh, that's something I should dive into. I don't really all the way understand yeast infections. Try Eucora risk-free for 30 days and say goodbye to UTIs. And right now, Eucora is offering 30% off when you text the word LOVE, that's L-O-V-E, to 484848. But hurry, this is a limited time offer. Text LOVE, that's L-O-V-E, to 484848 to get 30% off your order of Eucora. Again, that's LOVE, L-O-V-E, to 484848. And And we will leave all of that information, as always, in the description box, because like I said, I've used them and it worked really, really good. Okay, so.
Can I just say, y'all saving lives with these sponsors.
I work really hard to get really good sponsors.
She's going
to
be taking all the sponsors.
No, but like, people try them. Like, yeah. It's really, like, really cool stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that, like, literally, I took their pills, and it's like an Alka-Seltzer pill where you stick it in and you just drink it. It's like a fizzy drink. And it did, like, ward off. I was already deep in my UTI game. That's why I had to go to the doctor. But it did, like, help with the symptoms.
Nice.
Okay, so anyway, what we want to do now is talk about...
Can I interject just for a moment? Because I don't know if we told the audience that we have our youngest baby here with us.
Yeah, so if you see me kind of like...
He's maybe not on camera?
Oh, he is?
I'm
totally
distracted. He's so cute. He's looking at me. I'm like... Ugh.
We're trying to get him to go to sleep.
He's faded.
Yeah.
He's like...
Is he faded?
Yeah, he's faded.
He looks wide awake.
No, he be taking long blinks. Yeah. And then I'll say something. He be like, what's that? I'm up again. Come on.
I did see the blink.
There's a little baby in here, guys.
I just didn't know. Sorry.
Okay, that was a good call. Okay, so... The first question that I have, and we can all kind of all just talk and kind of have a dialogue around this, is let's actually talk about the story, because we have Uzi here. Mm-hmm. And Uzi was actually born on June 26th. And the reason why I know this is because it is me and Kevin's anniversary. And the reason why I know that is because we were all on set together. Mm-hmm. Yvette was supposed to be on set with us filming the Spectrum commercial. If you haven't seen the Spectrum commercial, I'm not quite sure where you've been.
Yeah,
because it's everywhere, literally across the United States.
I mean, I haven't seen it.
Really? I've only seen it once.
Because we don't have cable. So, I mean, it's possible that y'all haven't seen it.
I've seen it once. So anyway, we're all in the commercial together. Yeah. And one of the things that happened, which is so funny. So Glenn comes in and he's like, you know, my wife's pregnant. She's due like literally any day. Were you past day? Due, yeah. Okay. So you were
9 days,
due.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I like start to cry when I listen. So I'm just gonna let y'all know, man.
Okay,
you did this last time, man. It made me uncomfortable.
Okay,
yes. I
get most of you. He comes in
with
to me too. You have to tell him to get off. Yeah, you got to tell him to get off.
It's a supportive cry. Yeah, it's like a dry rub for cries.
But it's more like not the Jack in a Box. That's what your cry is doing. It's just winding it up until it just eventually comes out.
I'm here. I understand.
I'm sorry, but go ahead. Tell the story.
So we're all on set together. Jason is there with us, and I mean, from the moment you arrived, you were stressed. It was almost like you knew the baby was coming because you weren't in labor that morning, anything. But he came in like,
he was tense, McGee.
Like, my wife can be, you know, she's due any moment. Like, in reality, she's past due.
It was like, I'll walk out this commercial.
Yes,
right
it was
now.
Like dead serious.
I was so for real.
So he we get, like, you know, kind of situated, filling out paperwork, whatever it is we're doing. Before we even really get a chance to get into makeup, he comes back and is like, she's in labor right now.
And he was like, all right, y'all, it's going to be good.
And literally.
Good day with everybody.
Telling us he's got to go. And so my brother-in-law, Jason, because this is the day that we're shooting this commercial.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how big it was. Like, I didn't know all those lines.
Yeah, we didn't either.
It was a movie set.
Yeah. Like, it was a legit production.
Biggest production I've ever been a part of.
Yeah. Yes.
It was bigger than Pampers?
Yes.
It was
there was like 50 crew there. Me and Josh were like, dude.
It was too much.
There was a lot.
Everywhere.
Yes.
There's a PA that just wiped
down
his
the iPad
after each take. We were like, what are you doing? He was like, look, man, if I don't do something, they're going to send me home. I've made myself iPad.
He did.
Wiper. It never even got touched.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is at least from my perspective, and I'll allow you to tell the inside scoop of it. So before we know it, literally we met Glenn and then it was goodbye Glenn. It was like, hi, how are you guys? All right, I gotta go, my wife's having this baby. And so Jason, from my understanding, goes back, he has a conversation with you, and Jay is like, listen, number one, you live in San Diego, we're up the street from where we are now, and he's like, you're not gonna make it, like the traffic is terrible, you're not gonna make it, you guys suffered the traffic this morning, it's gonna take you by the time you get there, she's gonna have already had the baby. But not just that, you would have missed out part of fatherhood, because he's like, I'm a father, like this is what I do, I need to be there for my kids, my wife.
Yeah. you were John Q.
This is my
son, this is my baby, I gotta be there in the birthing room and announce to
through the roof.
Yeah. Like, it was a serious moment, though. You know what I mean? Like, this was a true moment. And he's like, but, you know, you're part of being a dad is being able to financially provide.
Yeah.
And so.
Because them people wasn't trying to hear none of that.
Oh, my.
I mean, they were understanding, but also like, I don't know what we gonna do.
Yeah. What is we gonna do?
Yes.
Because see, here is your name. Yeah. When you said, I'm gonna be doing it.
Yeah.
Because they were looking at it like, if we don't shoot this today,
we got to reschedule the whole thing.
And we were going to Mexico like the next day.
And then back on tour, because it was in June and July. That's when we were doing heavy dates.
That was when we were about to be gone for like 14
days.
That's
what I'm saying.
So it wasn't going to be no reshoot.
No.
That's when we got back after being gone all of June.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then July was coming. Same deal. Essence was coming up.
We
all
canceled
of that.
Our anniversary.
Yes. To be on set.
Plans for this.
So anyway. We're,
oh, dang.
Yes.
Yeah. I had a whole.
I felt all of this
by
that
the way,
day.
She killed me. She had my birthday party. Like she did it so good.
Yes.
So I had the plan to upstage her on my wedding anniversary, and I couldn't even do it because of this commercial. So I just had to take that loss for my birthday.
You know,
which kind of
go ahead.
I was just gonna say, which kind of speaks to the payment that Spectrum offered. I don't know.
Oh,
I feel like you canceling that and him missing the child.
Yeah,
it was not gonna talk about the payments. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying.
No, you could say it because I was like, listen, how much?
Yeah.
You know what wedding anniversary thing I could do next year?
And that was part of it was understanding. And I want to be clear because I can hear comment like that's not allowed. I would have left. I would have done that. And I want to be clear here that you guys had a conversation as well. And I think that's important to know and recognizing that this is what you do and it doesn't come without sacrifice.
He asked me, am I selling out?
Yes.
And I was like,
these were honest conversations.
Yeah, of course you are. Your baby's being born and you don't want to be there for some money? Just some money? Yeah. And I was like, dude, because I have been there, not necessarily on a birth, because I wasn't an influencer when my kids were born.
Yeah.
But me and Melissa, there's been so many times where you realize the thing that you love, your dream that you chase, also comes with the negative part of you missing out on stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just some of it's unplanned because you planned, the baby should have been, you know, born by then. You did the best you could.
And it was just a 1 day, few hour shoot.
It was literally like,
we was only supposed to be there for a few hours.
Yes. It was literally the worst. Even if she would have been into labor 8 hours later or 8 hours earlier, it would have been totally fine.
Right.
But he literally did it at the time that he, like, the thing that really changed, I feel like helped you like calm down.
And I'll let you talk as well.
There was no way possible to make it back.
Yeah.
Because the birthing, it was going to happen quick. She was like, the baby was like, all right, man, I'm about this sack. I'm about, open it up. I'm out.
Mind you, this is baby number four. Yeah. And with me, my births, my labors have been shorter and shorter with each.
Yeah.
So this baby labor was like, what, 5 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like no time. And so the hard part about it was that, you know, for me, I really was like, this is the last one. This is the finale. Like, I had like all the shots I was going to get. I wanted to film it, like, and just, you know, like, I wanted to make this memory. Yeah. Like, this is the last one. And it just was like, where am I supposed to be? Where am I most needed?
Mm.
Somebody else can do this commercial.
Right.
But only one person can, like, I'm the only person that belongs there. You know what I'm saying? And so to be somewhere where I'm not belong just because of a contract, I was ready to just take that L.
Well, you actually belonged in both places because you worked for the commercial.
But I get what he's saying.
I know what he's saying, but I'm saying.
But here's what I'm saying. Nobody else like has the right to experience that and see that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like no one else.
No, I get it.
And so I just was like,
at the end of the day, the Spectrum commercial role is replaceable. Period.
Yes. And I was looking at your brother like, yo, can you say these lines?
Oh,
so anybody can do this.
Jay was in the phone like,
he was making phone calls in case.
Yeah.
Honestly, we thought you were leaving.
No, I thought I was leaving.
Yeah.
And the only thing that stopped me, what was it? When they said they would get me a helicopter.
Mm. Yeah.
I was like, okay. I was like, the vlog finna be fire.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna hop off the helicopter and go kiss my baby. Like,
with an explosion behind
you. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Just throw it in and post. Just throw it in and post.
Yeah.
Hit up Jaws. Have him do it.
Can you walk us through the conversation? And I think that's one of the things that's so important is that in this life, meaning the life of being an influencer, and marriage in general, but very specifically in this life, it is so important that you and your spouse are one on one accord. Because if you are not, there are so many things that come up that you can be over here, he can be over here. And if you're not on one accord, that brings strife and arguments and resentment and just unnecessariness in your relationship. And so it's so important to be on one accord. Just as an example, I mean, we've shared this on, and I'm gonna let you share your story, but I want it to be conversational so we don't feel like we're just interviewing y'all. But we've shared our struggles with Joey, with my youngest son, being on tour. We did 82 dates,
82
from
shows.
The end of January, 82 shows from the end of January until 3 weeks ago. And so that we're gone a lot every single weekend, basically. And even when we're on vacation, as a child, a 10, 11 year old child, sometimes you're like, I just want to be at home. I just want to be able to go to the Santa Monica Pier with my friends instead of being out of town. I just want to be at home. And so being able to, so Kevin and I have to have a conversation at the end and say, what does our next year look like? How do we reconcile the need to not only chase your dreams on a like personal fulfillment level, but also being able to provide financially for your your family when you've made this a career choice. Being able to reconcile those two things warrants a conversation. So how do you guys have that conversation? He's falling asleep. Where you say, no, boo, it's okay, be there, do that, or however that conversation looks.
So the funny thing is, when they left the day before, I literally told Maggie, who's our brand manager, that I was like, you know, the Lord's timing, he's got this. He's like, you know, I just believe that the Lord was not going to let me go into labor while they were gone. And so that morning when I woke up.
Little do you know, you don't know the Lord at all.
And I was like, no, seriously, I don't know how many times it has happened, but throughout this pregnancy, I was like, babe, I'm in labor. It's time.
All these flashing moms. I'm like, man, if you don't get off me, I'm like, you owe me a baby as much as I'm rubbing you trying to get this baby out.
Like one time we full on blew up the pool. It was my birthday, June 4th. We blew up the pool and everything. It was just because we had a home birth. But so that morning when I woke up and I was feeling what felt like contractions, I was in complete disbelief that it was even happening. So before I even called anybody, I was like, you know what, let me just time these real quick. Let me just see how it was going. And it got more and more intense. And I was like, but wait, Lord, like, you know what today means for us. Like this, for us, it meant quite a bit. Like we had a car that fit five people and we were about to add a sixth member to our family.
So
and
we
needed the money because we didn't want to go into debt for a car. And so I was like, no. It's not happening. So then I called a couple of people and I was like, okay, I think this is happening. And I didn't even want to tell Glenn. Like I.
Because you knew how he was going to react.
I had that confliction.
Yeah. I was like, so I called Maggie and I was like, Maggie, this is what's happening. Do you think like.
Because Maggie was on set with us.
Yeah. And I was like, do you think we could like, he could just do it? And then you tell him, and then you guys like zip home. Because I didn't know like how fast or slow it was
going
to be.
It was going so slow.
But
nobody was in a rush.
And she was like, okay, I won't tell him. But then my mom got there and I was talking to my mom. I was like, he's going to be mad at because I didn't give him the opportunity
to make a choice,
to make a decision for himself.
That's good wifing.
Yeah.
And
good
so
mommy.
I
good
was mommy. Like, okay. So then I called Glenn and I think I started crying at one point, but I was just like, babe.
And I'm like the meme. I was hurt.
I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I wanted him to be able to do it all.
Right.
Like just do the commercial, come home. And there's a lot of things I don't know if we're allowed to share, but that was like, oh my goodness, like if you don't do it, then this could mean like, you know, like it was just some things. And so I don't know. But we talked and
The thing is, we talked and she, the thing is, we communicate. But I think during that time, people were trying to protect each position. So Maggie was trying to protect the set, and Diana, who was there texting for Yvette, was trying to protect that whole situation. So we had two people. This is actually a place where we didn't really communicate as well as we
should. Because you have these intermediaries.
We had people like kind of talking for us. And so only thing I knew was that I was supposed to get done as much as I can and I would leave as soon as possible. They're going to fly me in a helicopter. So when we're in the middle of shooting in that backyard scene,
yeah,
and then Yvette FaceTimes me and she goes, why aren't you in the car?
Like I didn't know about the helicopter.
I broke down. I thought all that stuff was being communicated.
Because, and so, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and so when she asked me that, I was like, oh, man. And so, like, I feel like...
Hey, baby, you know the helicopter. It's the whole thing. Yeah. Chopper City, you know. Yeah.
And Spectrum, to be fair, they were very accommodating in that way. Yeah. Up until the very end, they were like, we will fly. I don't remember why it didn't work out.
Yeah,
but they were willing to, like, we will fly you back to San Diego to make sure that you get home, like, as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes... I know even in your situation, you're just not able to be around. You know what I mean? And for me, mm-hmm. like I thought that as a father, like I stopped doing hip hop and traveling because I don't like to leave my family.
Right.
Like I realized and, you know, I was performing and all this stuff and, you know, traveling around. And I was like, man, I'm sitting here like inspiring these, you know, 100 people for 20, 30, sometimes an hour. But the biggest stage I'll ever stand on is in my living room. Like, it's not on any of these other stages. You know what I'm saying?
A whole bar.
So I was like, I'm called to be a father. I can figure out how to make money at home. I'm going to do the YouTube thing. And so that's kind of the weight that we carry. It's like, man, I love like what I do. I love what we're able to do and like what it means to the world. But at the sacrifice of my family, it's just not worth it.
Sure.
You know?
That's good stuff. You had something to say, Kev?
Mm-mm. My stage was in Chicago. It was 10,000. So,
oh, okay, big numbers. Well, yeah, my numbers were.
I think that is such such an important point and such an important revelation because it prioritizes your life. Mm-hmm. It always allows you in the mix of any sort of push-pull situation. They've been saying that a lot in our pitch meetings that we just had. Push-pull, you need to just push-pull. So anytime you have that kind of push-pull, you're able to clearly decipher, this is what's important mm-hmm. to me. And then make your decisions always from that position. And if you aren't clear as to what your priorities were or are, you will get, you'll go wherever the wind's blowing.
Yeah. And someone spoke to me and they told me that they were like, you know, as parents, we get to show our children attributes of God. You know, like we get to show him, our kids, things about God that God does.
Wrath, but, vengeance, anger, jealousy.
Joy, patience, love. You know what I'm saying?
Tell I was the good stuff. With the vengeance.
But
fear me.
But we are not God, so we are not omnipresent.
Yeah.
So we can only be at one place at one time. Yeah. But through those places, we can still show our children attributes of God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Family attributes
of God. Know what else should be omnipresent is your underwear.
Oh, all right.
They should be and cover all places at all things. So that you don't have uncomfortable walks down the street.
Yeah.
So okay. They should cover all of the places. So I pulled it together a little bit.
Yeah, that just came in out of nowhere. Yeah. I was like, okay.
So I want to tell you about MeUndies. You know I love MeUndies. You know Kevin loves MeUndies. Why do I love MeUndies?
I'm wearing MeUndies.
I am wearing my MeUndies as well. It's inappropriate to show you, but I want you to know that that is the fact that we both are. And part of the reason I love them, number one, you all know this, is because they have matching his or her underwear. We've talked about this. These are great, great gifts, especially with the holidays coming up. If you have you and your spouse, you want to do partner gifts, maybe you want to give it to a couple that just recently got married. Oh, they're just such fun gifts. But beyond that, they're comfortable. They're extremely, extremely comfortable. They have the no tag waistbands. Child, they have all of the things that you need in a comfortable pair of underwears. They have fun colors. They have solid colors. They have white. They actually just sent us a box of like just plain white underwear. They have everything that you want in a pair of like really great comfortable underwear, child. So MeUndies are made with soft, sustainable fabric and available in sizes extra small through 4XL. MeUndies are made for your self-expression. New fun prints drop every Tuesday, and members get exclusive access to new prints every single month. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, get 15% off and free shipping. So to get 15% off your first pair of underwear, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/LoveHour.
Love Hour.
That's MeUndies.com/LoveHour.
Love Hour.
While we're talking about kids, we also want to talk to you about Lola. Lola goes into our podcast starter kit. As you all know, you want to have a good time, maybe have yourself a little Uzi. go ahead and go in and get that Lola.
Yeah.
They sell. Oh, right. Not the rapper.
Uzziah.
A little Uzziah.
If he comes a rapper, it's going to be like, yeah. Little or Uzi. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yes. We were talking about next month where I'm going to have a bunch of women on, OBGYNs, gynecologists on the podcast. Lola is a female-founded company offering a line of organic cotton pads, tampons, liners, and all-natural cleansing wipes. This is important, too, because if you use the wrong products in internally, your body will respond accordingly. Yep. So all natural and things that are made by women, we understand the inner workings of our bodies. We understand how finicky they can be. So that's always important to me. Plus, they offer sex stuff too, child. They got lubricants and condoms. And
good, smooth. No child, sticky
all
of residue.
And they're all made with women in mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Lola's subscription is fully customizable. You can choose your mix of products, mix of absorbency, number of boxes, and frequency of delivery. Lola's subscription is super flexible. You can change, skip, or cancel your subscription at any time. Lola is known for its line of period products made with organic cotton. Lola additionally offers sex products made with women in mind. Child, I be knowing. Sex by Lola is a line of gynecologist-approved sexual health and wellness products, lubricated condoms, personal lubricant, and cleansing wipes designed first and foremost for women. Why did it just occur to me what personal lubricant means?
Oh, yeah. Let's figure that out, you know.
The Sex by Lola line is also available. We've used the lubricant, but I'd never realized that it said personal lubricant. Like, I don't know. I just had a full on like duh moment. The Sex by Lola line is also available for subscription. You can add to your period subscription so everything is conveniently delivered to your ideal schedule. For 40% off your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter Love Hour when you subscribe. Again, for 40% off your first month subscription, visit mylola.com and enter Love Hour when you subscribe. Okay, so
I want to go back to something Lynn said about the stage in the living room. One thing that I had to realize, it is very important to me that I keep my word to my children. Mm-hmm. And what happens in this business is, so
your words are tested.
Yes. I told my kids, because I basically was on tour for 2 years straight. Like, we did the first Real Comedians. Mm-hmm. We took like Thanksgiving off, maybe basically about 6 weeks off.
Yeah.
But then New Year's Eve service of 2019, mm-hmm. I tried out my new hour for the first time. And then pretty much after that, I was on the road in January. Even before the tour started, me and Josh were, and Jason were practicing, you know. So, and then we just went on tour to August. And then even through August, we've been traveling, and September. So I told my kids, November, December, and January, I'll take off. And Melissa will take off, and we will not do anything where we are separated. So we'll still travel for Thanksgiving and Christmas, but we won't be separated from you. Man, when I tell you I finished that tour and I got offered to do another tour, a world tour with a famous musician, Grammy Award winning, not just nominated, winning. I was like, yeah, man, you could open up for me. And it was like, they showed me the itinerary, and it was literally all the places that I dreamed of performing. Aww. So I had to really be like, nah.
Oh,
I can't.
And that's the reconciling. I think it goes back to what I was just saying about making sure you're you can. I'm piggybacking off making sure that your priorities are straight. Because it helps you make your decision.
It helps you
in
make
tough
your decision.
Moments.
Yes.
Your priority always comes through.
Yes. So one of my rules, Melissa and I I've never missed a birthday. I've never been out of town on a birthday or a first day of school. And on JoJo's birthday. Now, mind you, this is the kid who, I didn't care about my birthday. I didn't care about nothing. I don't have to go to dinner. You don't have to buy me a gift. But it's still like, we want to be there for you. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't want to do nothing but sit there and sulk. I had an opportunity to do a TV sitcom or a TV pilot. Mm-hmm. And I had looked at the date wrong. I was like, October 19th. I have emails to Melissa. Yeah. And even my assistant, like all that. So the producer called me and was like, okay, what are your schedule looking like for Thursday? And I'm like, Thursday? What you mean? They're like, yeah, it's on September 19th. And I was like, oh, what time? And it was literally at the time we pick up our sons. So they said they were going to try to work with me. They couldn't.
Yeah.
So I, it was either go to JoJo's, be with JoJo for his birthday, or do this TV pilot. And it was like a pilot of a show I would like have dreamt of doing. Had to say no. Just the other day, somebody hit me up like, man, I got a thing for you. And listen, you get to travel for 10 days. All expenses Israel. Is paid for in January. Israel? Yeah. Oh. And I was like, but I told my son. And the kids don't even know that we are keeping our word to them. Because they'll act like they understand. Like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
But you, all you are is your word. Especially because we miss so much. I'm like, look, these 3 months is y'all's. You know what I mean? And I think, I hope these opportunities come back again. But if they don't, as a father, it's my primary responsibility to keep my word to my children.
But are you like, in next year, are you like, all right, so I ain't going to say that next year.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, next year, I got to keep it open for them. You know what I'm saying?
So one of the reasons we did it this heavily for this year is because for the 2 years we had traveled so much. Like, I had traveled a lot in their life, but never this much. Yeah. And Melissa hadn't really traveled at all. Mm-mm. And now 2 years in a row, it's like, it was a lot for them. They're like, bro, we're not really used
to this.
Formative
years.
Yeah, formative years and stuff. So I pretty much, I don't know if I take 3 months off, but I also don't plan on touring as heavy the next years as I did this year.
Yeah.
So that way, even if I have to do something in November or December, maybe they'll be like, oh, cool, you've been around more. And Melissa's she's not even touring next year, so she'll be around too. So yes, I've been more open to that. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to choose the opportunity or your family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And this dude, when I first moved to LA, he said, this business will give you whatever you ask of it. Drugs, money, women, power, whatever. You have to decide what you want out of it. And I had to realize that I don't need to be filthy rich and famous. I want to be able to take care of my family. You shaking the mess out. That baby been sleeping for 15 minutes. He's like,
you're going to wake up. It's a certain tempo. He good at a certain tempo.
So I realized that I'm okay having my career go slower if it keeps my kids intact. I don't want it to go so fast that I lose what made me. And lose the humbleness and the grounding part of me. But you're gonna constantly get tested to see if you're really about what you say you are. Yeah, keep him. You know him. You know, like, hey man,
this is awesome. I was gonna tell him, but he new to the beer game. Y'all gotta keep my man on point. He new to the beer game.
You got it.
I was gonna ask y'all if I had something in my beer, because I'm like, y'all let my man just sit out here with the fuzz in his beer.
You are the one that's closest to me talking about y'all.
Like, should I reach out or interrupt?
You don't have to touch.
I was gonna grab it because I know you new to it. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, don't grab it.
Anyway, yes, but this like, if that's not a real thought, that's not a real feeling, then you can actually grow bitter to your child in the future. Like, say that opportunity never comes back, and you're sitting there like, you know, say JoJo's 15, and you're like, man, you don't sacrifice for me, da 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 da. And you're like, well, actually, back in 2019,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, and like, I don't ever want them to, I get that. I don't ever want them to feel like they, and that's, we had to have some tough conversations where when JoJo was like, y'all travel a lot, I had to tell him, like, this is part of my job, so it's gonna require me to be gone, but what can we do to make sure this isn't as hard on you? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And we've had that conversation, and I think they understand, like, they know this is not a normal, you know, job, and it does give you certain benefits, and it also has certain drawbacks as well.
Which I think is the part of reconciling.
Yeah.
So either having, because at the end of the day, one thing you just said is so true, you will become bitter and angry inside if you're not fulfilled with the life that you've lived.
Yeah.
If you feel like all you've done is sacrifice so your kids can have a good life, if you feel like you've sacrificed for your wife, if you feel like you sacrificed for your husband, or whatever, you feel like you sacrificed for your parents' dream, you will be unfulfilled. Yes. You will live an unfulfilled life. So making sure that you have a conversation where you're able to, again, reconcile the desire to be fulfilled, the desire to go out and accomplish and manifest your dreams with your responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what's crazy too? It's like having your kids can understand at least, hey, we're sacrificing, we want to take our children. They like my son tells me, he told me at 5 years old that I'm not spending enough time with my family and I'm too distracted by my work.
He came to me. Clear?
And, yes.
He like pulled him aside.
Pulled him to the side and said, hey, can I talk to you?
Hey, Glenn, listen.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I know what I said.
See, you're on your. And I tried to pull out, I pulled out the phone to like record him say it. Mm-hmm. And he was like, see? And I was like, oh, like, first of all.
He caught you in mid trying to capture the moment?
Yes, yes. And he said, you know, you're distracted by this, you're distracted by that. But he felt comfortable enough to come to me.
That's awesome.
As the oldest male, but you know, mm-hmm. and say, just to let you know, you're missing the mark. You used to play with us all the time. Mind you, I was a stay-at-home dad. So he used to play with us all the time, used to wrestle, used to do all these things, and now you're working all the time. I was like, yeah, but mommy's home. I can make money. We got to pay off mommy's debt. Not mommy's debt, our debt. Sorry.
He won't let me live it down. Hey. I just tried to get a college education.
Yeah. Right. Girl, I hear you. I hear you. All right.
So we over that. You know what I'm saying?
No, we're not.
But, so I'm like, I'm trying to pay off this and this and this. I'm like, you know, we owe 30,000 of these. Like, showing him a dollar, he doesn't get it. You know what I'm saying?
I hear all that.
Yeah, yeah. But
we do this with cars.
We need to wrestle. Yeah, we need to do this. I need you to go. And so I feel it, and the kids don't understand. They say stuff like, oh, you're not a good parent, or, you know what I mean? Like, they, and you're like, man, if you don't get out of here with that, do you know? And when they see their other friends, they're like, see, their dads are always with them. Yes. Because when they come around, their dad's always there. Right. But I'm like, these dudes work 9 to 5s. Like, right. they don't see their family as much as I see you.
And they ain't trying to hear that.
Mm-hmm. They ain't, man.
I have that same thing. Like, my oldest son understands a little more because he's a little older, and just his temperament is different. I think his love language is not the same as JoJo's. But JoJo's like, and it really clicked when we were out of town in Paris, I believe. And he was like, I just want to be at home. And I'm like, boy, you are in Europe. Don't you understand what I... He's like, yeah, man, but I just want to be at our house. And it wasn't even a cheap hotel. I mean, it wasn't crazy. We ain't balling like that. But they, like, there's a certain safety and security about being in your own house, your own room, your own refrigerator. You know what I mean?
MeUndies.
Like, after a while,
you
know MeUndies. Room service.
MeUndies.
Man, gorgeous. After the end of this thing, we were like... We were in Spain, and I was like, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
Because we had been like 8 months of eating hotel food 4 or 5 days. Yeah. It's not even good anymore.
No, so how are you guys doing?
So I was going to say one of the things before we get into that I want to ask is, and it'll go into that I think, is I think I want us all to talk about maybe how we're doing, and then maybe also offer tips on like ways that we are having these conversations with our children, ways that we're having conversations with our spouse, to ensure that we are fulfilled. And you know what I mean? Because these are real sacrifices that we're making. And so how are we doing it all? Are we doing it all? Are we missing the mark? Like, what are some tips that we can offer people that people see us, people see y'all, and they're like, goals, marriage goals, marriage goals. And I'd be like, girl, ain't none of my goals crossed off. None of them. You should see my to-do list. It's just a carryover from yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, nothing is happening.
The stuff from yesterday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not doing it all. So, like, let's dispel the myth and say these are things that we are working on. These are things that we've done that we know works, but child, we don't have it all. Because one of the things I'm always like, I don't got it all together. Like, one of my friends, she actually just did like a little piece on me, and she was like, how do you do it all? It looks like you're doing this, you're doing that, and the third. And I was like, girl, there's 50-11 things on my to-do list. I've just decided you are important to me, and I'm sitting down and doing this. But don't think because I'm doing this I'm just like, check, and I did this and I did this. And I, girl, no. I'm not doing it all. But what you can do it all is have an erection all day, because that's what you deserve.
Ew.
Now that's one thing I'll never stop.
Listen, we're talking about cheering. We're talking about having it all. One thing you can have that you deserve is an erection for as long as you want. So we want to tell you about Blue Chew. They are in our podcast starter kit. They are friends of the podcast. We love Blue Chew. They love us, and y'all love them as well. Y'all keep telling me about how much y'all like them. So what is Blue Chew? Blue Chew is, I don't know. Oh, here it is. So what is Blue Chew? Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so we know it will work for you. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises.
They're packed and ready for the cruise. We're going on a cruise in 11 days, 11 days. And let me tell you who's joining my carry-on package.
They give you the Super Mario doo-doo-doo, and he becomes all...
I actually used your discount code.
Did you?
Blue Chew, yeah.
Yay!
But they good. I'd just be taking them. Just
hello?
They actually taste good.
Right now... Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use promo code LOVEHOUR.
Love Hour.
Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, blue like the color, BLUE.com, promo code LOVEHOUR to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for being friends of the podcast
friends
and
of
for
the party.
Sponsoring Boom. The podcast. So let's answer the first
How
question.
Are you doing?
How are we doing? Kevin, let's go down the list.
I'm doing better now that my travel schedule is lessening. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I told Joe, he was like, he asked me to do something. I was like, I'm gonna be out of town tomorrow. And he was just like, I was like, we talked about this. We talked about it. He was like, I know. It's just, so one thing that I've helped, helped me is to maximize the moments that I do have.
That's a whole word.
So yeah. When we are
that's
home.
That's a tip too, Kev.
Yes. We play living room soccer. I beat the brakes off him. I beat him on his birthday. Like, I'm not going to let you win. You beat me for real.
He's nice too.
Yeah, I be sweating bullets. Yes,
you be pushing him over too, huh?
Melissa pushes. She cheats. I play for real. Like, we play for real. I played Call of Duty. He beat the brakes off me. When you're a dad, you realize you are trash at video games because you don't play them for a long time. Yeah. Man, my son was shooting me. I sent him to bed. All right, enough. So I go to his soccer games as much. Not always his soccer practice because you're not really being a part of the moment in soccer practice. They're just practicing. You're just sitting. But the games, I be present. I tried not to have my phone out. I did miss a goal one time. I was at a tournament, just me and him all day. And I went to check to see if something was uploaded, and he scored a goal. And I was like, I will never.
Did
let
he
that
see
happen.
You? Did he look back no, and no, see no, you? You were no. looking down at your phone.
And I had seen him score more goals that game. And I like focused on being really present during his games, and even cheering the way he wants me to cheer. Like, I'm like, I used to like embarrass him and make him laugh, and he was like, "Could you just say go JoJo?
Oh, okay.
Can you just clap and say yay, go JoJo, good job?"
And you didn't get sensitive about that, because no. I'd have been like, "Oh,
I'm telling
see
you,
see if you hear me again."
One thing I'm working on as a parent that's is to try to raise them and love them in the way that they best receive.
Yes.
Like, for instance, my son Isaiah, he grew his hair out, and I was like, "Please cut it." Like, he looks so clean with the low even. He got he had the wave potential. He's like, "I want to go a fro," and I was like, "Okay." So he grew a fro, made sure he gets lineups. Then he put his hair in the, like, you know, black boy twist. Mm-hmm. So now I'm like teaching him how to do that stuff, and I realized, like, that's parenting. It's not necessarily me enforcing on you right. what I think your life should be,
yeah.
but me trying to be the best version of help that you need as you need it. So, you know, I try to take moments with them each time when I'm at home and be present. So hopefully, as they have memories, because as a kid I played sports, my parents never came to any of the games, but I don't even remember most of that. Mm-hmm. Like, for the overall, I remember having good parents who were overall supportive, and I just try to flood his memory with a lot of positive things so that when I'm gone, he could be like, "Man, but when my dad is here, it'd be lit." Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. We play Uno, we play Super Uno, Jenga, Phase 10, Smash Bros. Like, I play dodgeball with him at his birthday party. You know what I mean? I don't just stand by and be on my phone. I'd be like, if we're playing dodgeball, let's play. You know what I'm saying? So,
even though Kev smacked one of the kids playing.
I was trying not. I was trying to leave that out.
I was like, "Oh, I'll be not going there."
Because it sounds so bad, but I did smack one of his teammates on accident because I slipped and fell trying to play with these kids. Fell, and my hand went back and smacked this kid in the face. But at least that's a memory. Like, I was up in there, you know. So I host a werewolf game for his birthday party. Like, I try to be present because I know I'm going to be gone. So, because what I realize is a lot of parents who. Even a lot of times in my life, I was there for 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, like, "Hey, how y'all doing? All right, I'm in my room."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so you don't have to be gone to not be present.
Yeah.
You could be, you know, 100%. Absent in the home, you know, just like your kid when he made you feel bad about your life. And you're home every day. Like, you have to make time to be present. So that's what Melissa told me, because I be feeling like a bad father.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I be feeling like the worst father. Yeah. And I feel like the money is not going to make it important. They're going to be like, "Yeah, my dad is Kev on stage, but he wasn't dad to me.
Yeah.
And he was a good job at this, but he wasn't there for this." Mm. You know what I mean? And I be like having bad memory or visions of that. So I just try to make every moment count.
So that was good. So I think your tidbit there was maximizing the moments that you do have.
Yes.
All right. Glenn?
I would say that, you know, stay-at-home dad, right? Working from home and then, like, trying to do home stuff and work stuff at home is just ridiculous, you know? And so one of the things that we did recently, and I hit you up about this and asked for advice, is actually got an office space. So now I'm in a co-working space where, like, all my work stuff is at work and my home stuff is at home.
That's a good idea.
And so Yvette was kind of like, she was like, "Listen, like, you would work all day if no one stopped you." You know what I mean? And so there's no hard stop time where I can know that, hey, during dinner time, you're going to come in here and hang out with the kids while I make dinner.
Right.
And so I so we got a workspace, and that has been, we only had it for a few weeks, but it's been amazing. Like, I go in there and I'm just free to work. I don't got to change nobody's diaper or wipe anybody's butt while I'm, you know what I'm saying? And it's always something. When I'm there, I'm
At work.
Are you trying to say that I don't?
I'm just saying, like, when you were working, so I, go ahead.
I mean, go ahead, because I got facts. I got receipts.
The thing is, I think the reason that the workspace is good is because when he was home, and even if he'd have, like, the office door shut or whatever, he could hear what was going on.
Right.
So he himself made the decision to walk out. And there would be times when I call on him, but most of the time, you just would walk out and be like, you don't talk to your mom like that. Well, let me help you. You know what I mean?
Or you just hear it. Like, I hear a baby crying, her washing dishes, this happening. I'm like, I can't sit here and stand for this. I'm coming out there to help.
Yeah.
And then it makes me irritated because when I go back to work, I'm just like, where was I again?
Right.
And, you know, so our team isn't, our team is kind of small. So I'm editing. I'm still doing music for the pot, for the videos. You know what I mean? So it's like a whole bunch of stuff in production that needs to get done. And I really do need the time to focus on that. So we got a workspace, and that's helped me as a man. I didn't realize how much I need to compartmentalize certain things in my life.
Right.
I always thought that was like something that was against me or like a bad trait that men have. You always compartmentalizing everything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I like need that. Like I need to have my space over here so there's not like toys on my desk while I'm working.
Right. That's good. That was a really good tidbit, because as I have become trying to launch the conference and recently trying to launch a new business venture that I'm trying to launch right now, it's very easy for me to get caught up.
Yeah.
Because your laptop is your office. And so wherever your laptop is, you can work. And so having that ability to separate the two and almost like sign out, clock out, and go home and be present. That's important. That was a really good tip. Anything you'd like to add, Yvette? I'm struggling over here with my tips, so girl, go ahead.
I'm not sure that I have a tip. I feel like, to be honest, like, for me, it's hard for me to take on the fact that, like, I'm considered an influencer, only because I feel like I'm married to an influencer, and by default, I'm considered an influencer. And so with the podcast that we have now, it seems like it's becoming more of an actual thing that I'm pursuing and trying to make something. And so how I'm doing is I'm just trying to, I don't know, come to terms with who I am in all of this.
Listen, like, that's so good. And I agree wholeheartedly.
Melissa had them exact thoughts.
I still have those exact thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a part of it is you saying, like, you really wanting it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, it's coming to you. You kind of like, yeah, I like this. But then, like, she sees a negative comment or something like that. She's like, I don't want to be.
Man.
I don't
totally get it. Wait, tell me more. I want to hear from your perspective.
So the other thing is, too, is like, I'm in a, I feel like I'm in a, and I will try not to get emotional because I'm feeling a little emotional.
Girl, don't do it, because I'm a sympathy crier.
Let's make a connection. But like,
flows through.
Okay. But like, the thing is, when I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, is the is when I started saying, okay, like, I loved teaching. I love teaching. I love doing it, being an ASB advisor. I love being the BSU advisor. I loved math. Like, I loved it all. Like, I was living out my dream. From a little girl, I said, I'm going to be a math teacher. I knew everything I had to do in order to make that happen, and it happened. And so when I found out that I was pregnant with my daughter, I was like, I can't let Glenn take care of my girl. Like, because we have two boys. We had two boys.
You didn't care about them boys.
I mean, like, okay. let me back up. Because, you know, when, like, I never thought that, like, I'd be married to a man who was, like, a stay-at-home dad. And there was nothing wrong with that at all. Like, I think it was divine. Like, I think that, in hindsight, Glenn being home with our boys was very important.
It was your idea.
It was very valuable. It was my idea. It was because he didn't, well, we'll tell that story another time. But it was valuable. And so then when I found out that I was pregnant with a girl that I've always wanted, like, I, my mom and I have a, I can't see Kev, sorry. I'm so talking sorry.
To you. My bad, I'm trying to keep
oozing. I'm just trying to conversate. So when I found out, I've always wanted a girl because my mom and I have, like, a really good relationship. And so I was like, I just want that. Like, I just want to have, I just want to keep it going, you know? And so when I found I was pregnant with her, it was like, he can't be home with her. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be home.
Yeah.
And so that last year of teaching was like, I was always having this internal debate, like, do I really keep doing this? Am I going to, whatever? And so it got to the point, like Glenn said, where I just kind of slowly was like, okay, I'm not going to. Because I had, mind you, it took me 7 years to get my credential cleared. In California, you have to get your credential cleared. You can do it. You're supposed to do it within five, but I got a 2-year extension.
So, wow.
And that's that when she, the year that she was born was the seventh year. And it was like, you need to either do this or you can't teach anymore in the state of California right now. And so I was just like, you know, I'm just not going to do it. And I didn't really have a solid conversation letting him know that that was what I was doing. But it was kind of like, you know, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, so you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So I just kind of was like, I'm going to stay home now.
Do you think it was that conscious for you, or do you think it was kind of even like a passive-aggressive decision, but also not a decision for you?
It was probably a combination of both. Mm-hmm. I think it was a combination of both. Yeah. And so I say all of that to say that, like, when Glenn says you have to really want it, the thing is, I really wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be home with my kids and educate them at home and do all the things that I had, like, pictured a good mom to do. Mm-hmm. And so when these things are arising with this influencer lifestyle, it's kind of like, yeah, I think it's awesome that we're able to impact families the way that we are, or just be like, what do you call it? The proof, or
yeah, the proof.
The proof.
We're not the example, with the proof.
For these families.
That was good.
Glenn with another bar.
I told you I had bars.
You do. I can see your music mind.
But and so it's like,
you're lyrical. Oh. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Okay, keep going. Words. So I want to be yeah, I don't know. It's hard because Glenn's like, you have to really want it. And I'm like, I do want it, but I also wanted this, and I'm not doing well at this right now. I feel like I'm not killing it as like a stay-at-home mom and homeschool teacher. Like, I'm pretty fabulous.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not able to do it right now, and I know I can master this given the right tools to master it. And so I am conflicted, I think. I'm conflicted as far as I don't know what I'm doing, or
and I think you've been trying to figure it out, because she was like, yo, we need a nanny.
Yeah.
And we need a nanny, and that's it. And I'm like, how much is a nanny though? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
But do you feel like, are you saying you need a nanny because you feel like that will give you the time and space to figure out the influencer job, so that way you could pull away from mommy?
So I actually, when we hired her, we actually hired a nanny.
Okay.
And when we hired her, I said, you are here so that I can spend more time with my kids. So I don't want to be doing dishes and cooking and doing all that stuff. I want to be able
to do,
like,
active stuff with,
like, yesterday, for example, I was sitting at the kitchen table, like, drawing with my kid a comic while she was washing dishes and cleaning up the kitchen. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you're here to help me with the kids, but you're also here so that I can spend more time with them. Because it was getting to the point where I'd be like, washing dishes or telling them, hold on, I have to do this, or hold on, I have to do that.
I get that.
And it's like, I'm not even like hanging out and enjoying my children right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm always telling them to wait, or they want to play like Sorry, and they can't really play Sorry by themselves because they can't read the cards. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I can't do that right now because I'm trying to
do another motherly, you know, thing for you.
Yeah.
Melissa has that too, because she wants to cook dinner.
I have the same.
It's very important to her.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that.
Well, the funny thing about it is that I think it's layered by the mommy thing, layered by, of course, the wifely duty things, and then now trying to be an influencer.
Yeah.
So are you even stepping into the role of influencer? Are you trying to even step into it? Or are you still trying to?
I am. Am I? I don't know.
Girl, I heard all types of questions. That was three different questions.
I mean,
all said the same way.
I don't want to speak for you, but go ahead.
That's why I'm allowing her to talk. I'm shutting him up too, because one of the things.
I got the baby now.
I got what to say.
And that's why I allow both of you. Oh. Because one of the things that Kevin does, and I've noticed he does too, is Well, that happens for Glenn, for Melissa as well. That happens for Yvette as well. Well, Yvette has actually said, well, child, she's here. Let her speak.
Yeah.
Because you may capture, he may not capture a nuance that you'll be able to articulate that much better coming from you. So I don't want him to speak for you. That's why I'm like, so please tell me more.
Okay, okay. So I feel like I have finally more so embraced the title of influencer. I definitely have been more mindful with my posts on social media or things that I say, because, or even like companies that I'll stand behind, because I realize now that when people hear me speak, they may be like internalizing that and proceeding in a way because I said something.
100%.
Which is very uncomfortable for me to even think of, but it's just how it has arrived. And so I feel like it would be really dangerous for me to not acknowledge the fact that I am an influence and that I have an influence. And if I don't use my influence in the way that I want to use it, in a way that I'm kind of dictating it to be, then it's just I have to take hold of it. And so I don't know that I've fully stepped into my role as influencer, but I do believe that I have begun slowly to
I do it too though. I'm like speaking, but I also need
I don't want to lie, but I feel like I'm slowly stepping into that role as
She's looking for your nod
and agreement.
I know,
like, can you just give me something?
Oh, I could talk now?
She just needed your nod and agreement. She didn't ask for your opinion.
Would you agree?
I would say
because
so.
I think that you have, like, I think that you probably would like to see me step out more.
No. It's just that, you know, during this time of an influencer, we have opportunities to work with certain companies and do certain things. So I'm like, we're gonna do this, right? And you're like, I don't wanna do that. I wanna do this over here. And I'm like, well, if you got an opinion about it, you gotta do this over here too. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not so much that she's not stepping out, it's just that I have said no to things because she didn't wanna do it.
Right.
And I'm like, well, then that hurts my pockets and I gotta figure out a way to kind of maneuver. So if you have an opinion on it, you gotta hop on the train. You know what I'm saying? With me, because it helps me, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not alone in making these decisions.
Yeah.
I think that, so much of what you just said I identify with, because you do become an influencer by default.
Yeah.
And for a long time, I would say that I was subconsciously fighting against the title. I didn't want to post. I didn't want to do anything. I don't want to be in your videos. I don't want to I don't want to do any of it. And it was almost like I don't know that it was like active, like I just don't want to do it because I don't want to be an influencer, as much as like I just kind of wasn't interested in, I want to be able to keep my anonymity. I want to be able to post what I want. I want to be able to do what I want. I don't want you to look at me no certain way. I don't want you to put me on no pedestal. I don't want none of the things. And so I shied away from it. And so that's why I was even asking, like, is the nanny thing to allow you that space, or is it, but you said it wasn't. So I'm almost wondering.
It's a combination. Because I do want her to free me up to also be able to like go to Starbucks and do, what are they called? The things for this YouTube.
Thumbnails?
Descriptions.
Thumbnails, descriptions. You know, just being able to do that stuff, or even scheduling Instagram posts for our for our podcast. So it's a combination of things. And you know, you said something that really triggered a thought in my mind. But growing up, I was always like my dad was a preacher, my mom was a choir director. And so I was kind of like the token, like, look at that good Christian girl over there. And so I was always the one that parents were comparing me to, their children, their children to. And so it was like, I hated that. Even when we got married, I was like, I just want to go to a church where nobody knows me. Like, I can just be under the radar. We go to church, we leave, it's that. And I have not been able to escape any of it. Like, I just spoke at our church this weekend.
Girl, and I'm like, you hustling backwards.
I'm like, what?
I
don't
want nobody to know me.
Yeah.
And I'm preaching Sunday.
And
also,
here I am. It's just like, I don't, it's something that I can't escape. And I feel like sometimes you like it's it's not dangerous.
It can be irresponsible too.
Irresponsible. That's a very good word. But I just feel like the Lord has kind of given me gifts that deserve to be shared with the world.
100%. Can I encourage you really quickly for just 1-2 moments? Because I feel like we are like walking parallel paths, you know? And, I don't want to get emotional, but now I got emotional. But one of the things that happened for me is that the moment I stopped running, I feel like God literally started putting these building blocks in place and making these connections with people that I feel like I never would have been able to make. And literally, I almost think I posted this just recently, and it's always God just saying, you're on the right path. Keep going. And it was because I was no longer fighting against him. When I quit my job, let me tell the truth, shame the devil, girl. I literally feel like God kicked me out of my job because I held on to it for far too long, to the point where he had to close the whole company down and was like, girl, go and do this. Yeah. And that's almost why I was asking about I just kind of stopped looking, because sometimes it's like that underlying whisper of like, this is what you should be doing. And you just get to a point where sometimes it's a little bit of apathy, like I just really don't care. And then sometimes it's a little bit like, I mean, maybe I'm interested and I don't really know. You know what I mean? Yeah. But then you can use, I actually just posted my Show Up For Myself video, and I called them paralyzing excuses that can start off valid, but they move into paralysis.
Oh, man.
So you have, I am a mother, and that's legit.
Yeah.
I am a wife. And that's legit. But now they're just excuses to prevent you from doing and moving into your call.
Yeah.
So finding the and so the moment I was like, okay, God, for real, I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do it scared. I feel like that's when all of the conference was born. The fact that you're on this podcast in real life, this connection is solely because I've said yes and stop kicking and screaming 6 months ago. You know what I mean? And so, again, I think my encouragement to you is letting go and just walking in it and not look and do it your way.
Yeah.
Because Kevin always thinks he's got the blueprint. You need to post every single day.
Yeah.
People are going to forget about you. You need to remain relevant. You haven't posted in 3 days. Why? Sir?
If I'm going, how to do nothing, and I don't even know.
But why? Because I eventually had the conversation that was like, I don't want this pressure, and if I'm going to do it, I have to do it my way. Otherwise, you're going to force me to run, and I'm not going to do it at all.
The Lord closed your job last time. You're running from yourself.
Yeah, but that was the Lord.
You can never outrun your own feet.
You know what's crazy too is like if the like Yvette has doesn't for me, I think it's hard for her to see that. It's not that people are comparing their kids to you. It's like you obviously have a light in you that shines.
Yes.
And people are going to see it whether you want them to see it or not. And that's the thing hard. Is people with the light, you can't hide. You always get put to the front of something.
But you always want to.
You always want to hide,
you always want to hide. Yeah. You want the light to go out. You don't want to be seen. I just want to be irregular. I don't know why. Sometimes, I don't know if this happens for you. We're all off topic. But sometimes I get... I don't know what to call it, so I'm making this up. Typically, they call it like survivor's remorse, but I want to call it like successful. Where it's like, God, why?
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't want to get emotional again. I don't understand why this is when we were having the GOAT conversation, why people can be doing the exact same things that we're doing, trying to make it work, trying to, and it doesn't. But for whatever reason, if I do something, it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just want to, I want to hide. Yeah. Sometimes I just want to be regular. Sometimes I don't want that spotlight on my life. I just want to be regular. And God be like, nope, speak. Nope, do this. Nope, do that. I don't want to. Yeah. And so you get to a point where even that's conflicting. You know what I mean? You have that, I don't know, the internal confliction where you're just like, why have you appointed me? What is so me? That I'm the one on this platform, that I'm, it's such a responsibility, and sometimes that's daunting.
Yeah.
Was it helpful or not at all?
It was beautiful.
No, it was great.
That's great. Paralyzing excuses.
Paralyzing excuses. We have to be, and maybe that's my tip. My tip is, number one, being aware of them and not allowing you to allowing them to stop you. Because I just read this meme the other day that said, "Done is better than perfect."
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Done is better than perfect.
Done is better than perfect.
You know what's funny? Romy Malco just he produced his own movie. He crowdfunded it and stuff like that. And his manager was like, "How can you do that? You're an established actor. You've been trying to do this, get this movie done for years, reaching out to studios, all these people who made all the movies with him in it." He's like, "Hey, we all produce this thing that I'm in." Nobody, they'd be like, "Oh, we like the character, but we're not sure. We're not sure." So finally, he did crowdfunding and he got it made, right? And he said, his manager was like, "This is going to be a bad look for you as an established actor to have to crowdfund." Mm. And he said, "Am I really an established actor if nobody will do co-sign, my movie?"
Right. Yeah.
And he said that a proof of concept is better than an idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you see that it's actually done and able to be done. Are you taking him from me?
I think so.
Yeah, does I mean, he's cool. Yeah, he's hungry.
As long as you're comfortable. Are you
I'm
comfortable?
Fine. Okay. I like baby. You do, you he ain't crying and screaming.
All right.
So he said a proof of concept is better than an idea. So I had a meeting yesterday with a company, and I'm talking about ideas for shows I have. And I'm like, "We've done this. Like, we've shot this already." Mm. Like, and they're like, "Oh, you shot it?" Like, because everybody's like, "Travel shows are so hard." I'm like, "Not really."
Yeah.
They just, like, I'll send you some links. And, you know, we only shot like 3 or 4 of them. But I already have the idea. So this is showing you that, oh, this is already done.
Yeah.
And that's, people will come along with something that's already happening.
Yeah.
Before they'll be the ones to be like, "I'll help you start
right.
this yeah. idea." It's just like pushing a car. Okay. Are you okay? When you're pushing a car, if your car breaks down, if you're outside pushing it, people will jump out and help you push.
Yeah.
If you're sitting in there like, "My car's broken down," people are not going to stop.
100%.
They want to help you looking like you're already doing something before they want to start the process yourself. And that's what I said.
Yeah, and I just want to shout out to you guys because you are a great, you know, proof of what you're able to do for us.
Mm-hmm.
The Love Hour conference, we just paid off our little
I got your thing today.
We definitely on the conference. We was like, "We don't want to go up on the show." They'd be like, "Oh, y'all ain't pay us, put us on blast." So we had to go ahead and but yeah, like, you know, that and I think a lot of your stuff working previously at ADD like has allowed you to be so professional, because you guys, like, the whole situation coming up here was just like, man, they have so many of their ducks in a row. Mm-hmm. It's hard to fail.
We were like, if you were to come down to us,
them ducks all over the place.
But I mean, like, even like, "Hey, this is the travel information. Do you need this?" Dude, like, it was so much care put into you guys having us out here.
Thank you.
Like, you guys are great. Yeah. Great job.
Thank you guys so much. I think this was such a great conversation. I almost want to have a separate conversation with just you one day.
I told
which
him
is
that.
What I think the original idea was, oh, I do want to do it for women only. That has become a paralyzing excuse.
And well, maybe I was going to tell you, I don't know how to put on makeup, so we should do like a...
Oh, that's a good idea.
A conversational, like...
Get ready with me. That is a great idea. We should totally do it.
I pitched that to her, but she don't want to listen to me no more. So
no, where the idea receipts. Is like conversations and makeup or something. What's an alliteration that goes with that? Think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about it.
But it's like, you know, when
you
they
know
do.
You got something.
I got something. I
call the wordsmith.
I ain't finna get shut down on camera. That's what I'm not going to do.
I think it's a great idea. So I love that. If we can do and we just get dressed and have conversation. Yeah. It's almost like a great ready with me, but like we're talking about cute stuff. I'll think about it.
Okay.
Anyways, thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we gave some really good tidbits. And one of the things that Kevin always says is finding the balance between aspirational and inspirational.
Mm.
And sometimes aspirational feels untouchable.
Yeah.
But we can inspire people because we're on the same, like, we are so real. We're going through this grind.
You wanna hustle it up.
We are not perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
And so to have these conversations makes us that much more touchable and relatable and inspirational. So I'm excited. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you guys for joining us today on today's episode of the Love Hour podcast. Thank you for speaking, girl. We force it out of you. I'm so excited. Love Hour Conference.
We in there.
We're going to be there.
Yes.
VIP.
Yes.
And it's our it's like right before our 10-year anniversary.
Yes.
That was like our
VIP sold out.
VIP is sold out. Sorry. But I did just announce by the time this comes out, you will be able to register for the Pajama Jam for singles. There will be, it's fine. There will be a Pajama Jam for our single women. There will be a panel of women that will give really great information. The atmosphere will be very like sleep over, spend the nighty, come in so your fun. Pajamas. We're gonna have music. It's gonna be such a good time. I'm so excited for that.
Wait, so can I go or do I? Will it?
Listen, I'm trying to figure out how I can do both because the vow renewal service and the Pajama Jam will be. Yeah, there will be crossover time. Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out how I can like go back and forth to make sure I say hi to the folks. But I'm really excited. It's going to be a great time. All the information, of course, will be in the description box if you're interested in supporting any of our sponsors. Because as always, the podcast is free to you, but it is ad supported. And when you support our sponsors, you support the podcast.
Yes.
Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week in your feed with a brand new episode and some OBGYNs that will be there as well. Okay, bye.
Bye.
I was in a rush, Kevin.
Bye.